So today we're going to be talking about one of the most sensitive subjects to talk about as a pastor. And you may be thinking of a list of things right now in your head that we're going to talk about. But we're going to be talking about giving, right? Giving. So, and honestly, it's probably one of my least favorite things to talk about. So, but it is necessary. So today we're going to be exploring, we're going to be looking at the early church in Acts again and examine how they gave. And matter of fact, in Acts 2, 44 through 45, Luke writes this. And he said, speaking of the early church, he says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Listen to this in verse 45. "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." They were givers. They were givers. And if you're new to the River Church, maybe your first day here, or maybe you've just been coming a couple of weeks, and you may be asking yourself, does this church only talk about money? And I want to assure you, we do not, right? We do not. We care more about what God's doing and doing the work of God than money. And I really want you to believe that. If you've been coming here a while, you know that's true. So, but from time to time, we must talk about giving, because God requires, or he asked believers to give, right? And so we need to, from time to time, talk about giving. It's important, and it's something that believers, God's called us to do if we're believers. In our heart, sometimes when we talk about giving, it's a sensitive subject, isn't it? And I think the reason it's sensitive is because sometimes in our homes or even in our hearts, we battle over material possessions. We battle over finances. We like to hold on to those things, right? We do. And this is it's sensitive in another way because it's potentially a dangerous subject. And the Bible provides numerous warnings about this subject, the subject of giving. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Look, now Paul's not saying here that money is the root of all evil, right? Money in itself is not a bad thing. We need money, right? You agree? It's not a bad thing. But the love of money is where we fall into the issue, where we crave that, and that's our desire. And it's really, when we have that love for money, there's another word for it. It's called greed, okay? John MacArthur says this about money. He says, "It's hard to imagine," actually, he says this about greed, sorry. He says, "It's hard to imagine a sin that has not been committed because of greed." Now think of that. Think of the sins that have been committed because of greed. And there, I can't probably think of any that haven't been committed because of greed. Not always because of greed, but they are committed because of greed. But greed, it can destroy our faith. And today, it is true that giving in the church is a sensitive subject. And today, as we talk about it, let's seek God's guidance, and let's try to understand what God's calling us to do, and that is to be sensitive givers. Okay, sensitive givers. When the early church began, we've talked about this during the month. Many were saved. Thousands were saved. The church was exploding in Jerusalem. And this was the beginning of the church age, when the Holy Spirit came upon believers there, it was the beginning of the church. And they gathered, the church, these new believers, they gathered together under the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were reaching out to them around, to those around them. We talked about our mission statement, reach, gather, grow. They were reaching out to folks. They were gathering together. They were growing together. They were dedicated or devoted to the apostles' teaching, it said in verse 42. But they gathered in the name of Jesus, and they nurtured their relationship with the Lord. Acts 4:32, I'm going to kind of split it up. It starts off and says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul." That means, what was the one heart and soul? That means they didn't have everything in common, but they had one thing in common, and it was Jesus. They were devoted to him. They were devoted, and they were devoted to the Lord. That's what it means when it says they were one heart and soul. And if we keep reading in that passage, Acts 4:32, it says, "And no one said any of these things belonged to him, was his own, but they had everything in common." So no one said their belongings belonged to them. They knew that their belongings were provided by the Lord, and they trusted the Lord. They knew that, and that's why they weren't greedy. So they became sensitive. Not only they had a heart and soul for the Lord, but they also had a they were sensitive to the need of the community of believers, and I believe even outside the community of believers, which we should be the same. And honestly, we see things like the furnace thing. That was amazing yesterday, right? And I've seen other things happen multiple times. How the community here takes care of each other. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's love, right? It's the love of Christ. So this early church was the opposite of greedy. And it actually reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 22 when he was asked, "What are the two greatest commandments?" And Jesus answered this way. He said, this is verse 37 through 39 in chapter 22 of Matthew. The Lord Jesus answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." They were one heart and one soul, right? But it goes on and says, "This is the great first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." They seen the needs of the others in the church. And when we look at this passage of scripture, when we do these two things, we're fulfilling the whole law. If you read on in here, it says that when we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we love our neighbor, when we love, truly love them like the Lord loves them, we're fulfilling the law. We're fulfilling all that we're commanded to do, the Ten Commandments. You know, do not lie. If we love somebody, we're not going to lie to them. We're not going to steal from them, right? And if we love the Lord, we're going to honor him, and we're going to honor him only. So we, this love passage, we see this happening in the early church. But there's another passage in the New Testament that explains the sensitivity of giving. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, I encourage you to do that. We'll be starting in verse 1. But this passage, in this passage, the church in Corinth had committed, they had made a commitment to give money to another church that was in need. This church is in Jerusalem. Actually, it is the Jerusalem church, the early church we've been talking about. But they, and this is a while after the book of Acts, okay? But they're taking the collection to help. So, but let's take a look at their sensitivity. And actually, there's three things I want to talk about today when it talks about giving. First, the first thing is this: be sensitive to give to the needs of others. In 2 Corinthians 9:1, and I'm going to read through verse 5 here, says this. Paul writes this. It says, "Now it is superfluous." I had to practice that word. "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry of the saints." He says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove to be empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, for some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, not to say nothing of you. For being so confident, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready and a willing gift, not as an exaction." Okay? So Paul says this word, superfluous. And what he's saying is, look, I don't need to write to you. I don't need to. It's not necessary, but I'm doing it anyway. He's doing it anyways. He's saying it's not necessary to write about their giving because they had already committed to it. They were eager. They were ready to give. And they had enthusiasm about giving, right? And this is the type of, this is the attitude believers should have when it comes to giving as well. When believers today, when we're giving, we should be eager and ready to do it with enthusiasm, okay? But the River Church, we're also sensitive to the needs of others. And honestly, even when it comes to the needs of others, we should be ready, eager, enthusiastic to do that. In verse 5, Paul says, calls for them to give willingly, not grudgingly, as an exhortation. He's saying, look, you shouldn't give because I'm telling you to give. And look, I want you to know this, River Church. You shouldn't give because I'm standing up here telling you to give. You should give because you love the Lord. And he wants us to give, okay? But giving to God is not a tax. It's not something like not a set amount that we have to give every year. It is a believer being sensitive to the needs of others. And our eagerness reflects the love that we have for the Lord and the love we have for others. Matter of fact, this love is the lifeblood of a believer. John writes this in John 13:35. He says, by this, he's speaking of love, agape, the kind of love that we get from the Lord when we become believers, from the Holy Spirit. He says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. People will know that we belong to Christ when we love each other. And it's not, this love is not always in giving something. Well, I guess it is. It is. It's not all the time like a financial gift. But it is coming alongside people and helping them. Sometimes it's as simple as praying with them. Or helping them carry a burden. Let them vent to you. Let them share what they're dealing with. Pray with them. And sometimes it requires us to walk alongside another believer and help them, maybe if they're struggling in sin or something like that. But it also includes giving. Giving, okay? Here at the River Church, our giving is set up three ways. This year it's going to be set up three ways. We can give in a general giving, okay? When we go online to give, it'll say general if we're giving online. If we give in an envelope and we don't designate where you want it to go, it's going to go into the general fund, which is where our normal giving should go to, the general fund. But the general fund covers things like turning the lights on. We got heat in here today, thank God, right? And it comes from that. Our events come from that, our egg drop and the trunk or treat. We pay for that through the general giving. We also this year have the opportunity, or we've had this going on for a while, the power of three. And the power of three is something that we give above and beyond our normal giving. And what it does, the power of three, like this year, for the next few years, we're collecting money here at Burton, the power of three, to do our parking lot, right? It's getting pretty rough, and it's going to take a lot of money, it's going to take a lot of time, but we give, if you want to give to the power of three, you can do that online, or you can mark that on the envelope as well. Okay, so that's another place where we give, and another place that we're offering to give this year is to missions. We support missions from, we're partnered with a place in South Africa, and we give all the way down to the jail ministry, the Forgotten Man ministry, right? And that's an awesome ministry, by the way. If you're not involved, know about that. That's an amazing ministry. But that mission giving pays to help those who are working outside these walls and spreading the gospel in other places, okay? And those are the three places that we're offering for you to give this year. Last year, we gave you the opportunity to give to, the Power of Three was available, but we also did local missions, which was our churches that aren't supported, self-supported, which we're one of those. You could give to that. Can't remember the other ones. Building expenses. We had multiple of them, but we've just brought it down to these three that we think are important this year. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. But going back to what we were talking about in Corinthians, the money that was being collected was meant to be a large sum of money. So Paul and Titus and a man that the church elected, many think it is Luke, the writer of Acts. Many think it's him, but would take this money to the church in Jerusalem. And look, when these people gave, when they gave this money, they were giving to God, but they were giving to God through the church. And listen, that's what we're doing when we give here. We think, we give and we think this money's just going into this big pit, but it's not. When we give here at the River, it is going to, we give to God, but we're giving through the church. We're giving to this ministry so we can take the word of God outside these walls, the gospel outside these walls. And we're giving to God through the River Church. So I don't want you to think that this isn't being used in the proper way. And I want to share this with you as well. Our giving is transparent. If you want to know anything about where we're spending money here at the River Church, you ask me. It is open. It's public knowledge. We will share that with you. We're not hiding nothing. We don't want you to think that we're hoarding this money. We're using this money to share the gospel, and you can see that if you want to see that. So if you have questions about it, you come and talk to me, or you talk to one of the elders at the church, or I can talk to them for you if you would like. But Paul here, he wanted, so we want our the giving here to be honorable, and that's what Paul wanted as well. Paul wanted things to be honorable. Years ago, I used to go on a fishing trip to Canada. I think I've told you guys about this before. There was a guy named Earl. He was our money guy. He was a numbers guy. Man, he counted everything. He was a nut. Like, he would drive me crazy counting stuff. But he was in charge of our money. And why was he in charge of it? Because Earl was honorable, and we all trusted him. Like, we had another guy named Bob that was helping him do things, but Earl was honorable. And that's why we had him do that. And that's why Paul had these men going with him. But I have to tell you this. So, like, usually when we were up in Canada, there was this ice cream shop. It was quite a drive, but we would usually go there twice a week. Don't tell my wife. Oh, she's sitting right there. We would usually go there twice a week. And we went there to get ice cream. And me and one of the other guys, his name is Al, we jump out of the truck. Everyone else was already in the ice cream shop. And when we got out, there's an envelope laying on the ground. We pick it up, and it is full of money. We realize that Earl dropped the money out of his pocket in the parking lot. So Al was just, he liked to mess with people. He did not tell Earl we found it. We sat out in the truck and waited for Earl to come out in a panic. And we just let him suffer for a minute, and then Al finally went and gave it to him. I had to give him a hug after that. That was pretty rough. But listen, Paul picked these men. They were the Earls. And because he wanted this giving thing to be honorable. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, "For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man." Right? He not only wanted to do things that was right for in God's eyes, but he wanted people, when they looked at what they were doing, to realize they were doing this honestly and for the purpose of God. That's what we're doing here at the River. That's why everything's transparent. But this is, to Paul, was of utmost importance, and it is his utmost importance here at the River Church as well. Okay? It really is. We have people, and we have checks and balances, and everything is transparent. Okay? The second thing in Corinthians about giving, we talked about sensitive of others' needs. The second thing is we are sensitive to give generously. In 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 11 says this: "The point is, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully." That passage of scripture right there gets blown out of the context big time. But we're going to talk about that. So each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, and he's quoting from the Old Testament here, he says, "He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." He's speaking of God here being a giver. Okay? And then as we go on in verse 10, he says, "He who supplied seed to the sower and bread for God will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." So Paul's saying here, look, you have two choices when it comes, he's talking to the church, you have two choices when it comes to giving. You can give sparingly, or you can give generously. And he compares this to something that I think we can all understand, to somebody planting, a farmer, as an example. He says, like, the farmer can take, and he can hoard the seeds, right? The seeds cost money. And he can hoard it and just poke a hole and put one seed in, poke a hole and put one seed in, poke a hole and put one seed in. We can give like he, and he's comparing that to giving sparingly, or we can give generously. And he talks about the farmer spreading the seed, trusting God as you're giving. And that's what he's talking about here. A lot of people believe that if you give, God's going to give back to you tenfold. That is malarkey. That is not true, right? God will provide for you, and he will provide what you need. It's a promise. But he's not going to make you rich because you're giving to him. Don't buy into that. That is not true, okay? And sorry, I got a little carried away. That's a little heated topic for me. That is a little heated. So when we understand that God owns everything, God owns the seed. He gave us the seed. He gave us our finances. He gave us the things we have, our possessions. And when we realize that, we learn that we can trust that when we give, he will resupply what we need. That's what this passage is saying. We can trust that he's faithful. Matter of fact, in verse 10 it says, he will provide more than we need when he replenishes. For what purpose? Not to hoard it, to give again. We're givers. We're called to be givers. And listen, it's not a command. It is, we give because why? God gave first. He's our example. How did he give? How did he give? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I don't have these up on the screen. I'm sorry. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He gave us the gospel. Look, Romans 5:8 says, let me see if I can remember it. God chose his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He sent Jesus here. He is a giver. And look, when we realize we're sinners, that we have no hope without Jesus as our Savior, we can freely turn from a life of sin and turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross, and I believe you rose from the dead. Will you forgive me? And guess what he will say? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God, or if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, guess what? You will be saved. This is the example, believers, that we have to follow. Our God is a giver, and we're supposed to imitate that giving. I have 5 grandkids, and the youngest one's name is Palmer. She is awesome. I don't know how else to say it. I love being around her. But she's a year old, and she imitates everything I do. I can look at her and squint my eyes like that, and she'll squint her eyes. She's like Clint Eastwood, right? If I wave at her, she waves. Anything I'm doing, she wants to imitate it. That's what we're supposed to be as believers when it comes to God. We're supposed to be imitators. Ephesians 5:1-2, Paul writes this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. That reminds me of Palmer. As we're beloved children of our Father, we're to imitate him. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We're to give generously because our God gave generously. The last thing. Let me go over them again. We're to be sensitive to others' needs in our giving. We're to be sensitive, generously giving. And we're to be sensitive, the last one, is to give worshipfully. Okay? I'm going to read verse 11 again and read through verse 15 and 2 Corinthians 9. It says, you will be enriched in every way to be gracious in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Worship. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of your surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So giving is worship. We give, we follow Christ, God's example of giving, but we give because he gave to us. We're worshiping him in our giving. Paul says two things happened here in Corinthians, or from the Corinthians giving this gift to the church in Jerusalem. The first one was this: the needs of the people were met. They were going hungry. You have to understand what's going on here. So when these Jews gave their life to Jesus, they were not only being persecuted by the religious people there, but they were disowned by their family. They were disowned, right? They had funerals for them. They were disowned. So they have nothing. They have no family. They're being persecuted. They're hungry. And their needs were being met from this gift. That's the first thing. And the second thing is this. They were joyful and giving thanks to God. They were worshiping God because of the gift. Our giving brings not only worship for us, it's not only us worshiping, but when people see that love, they worship God as well. What happens when we give here at the river? What happens? The gospel moves forward. It's not only presented here in this auditorium, it's presented outside these walls. We do reach things. We do all kinds of things to take the gospel to the world. Matter of fact, our elders were here last Sunday night, and they want us as a location here to reach people. They want us to do more reach type events. Actually, they want us to go all in on VBS this year. They want us all to get involved and make VBS the best it can be. Invite as many people as we can from the neighborhoods and the people you know and get the kids here. That is how the gospel goes out. But it takes your giving and my giving to do that. So the gospel goes out. What else happens? People's lives will be changed by the gospel. Who can remember being saved for the first time? Who remembers that? Was that an accident? No. Look, when the gospel goes out, it changes lives. It doesn't change everybody's lives. It might not change everybody's all at once, but it changes lives. And that is what our giving's all about. And they gave thanks to God. And I'm standing up here giving thanks to God that somebody reached me. So, but when we give to the church, we're giving to the work of God. And we're giving to him in worship. But God uses it to change things. Many people give out of gratitude of what they have. The Health and Wealth says, give out of what God gives you. But Paul says that we should give to the needs of others and do it generously, trusting that God will meet our needs now and he will continue to meet our needs in the future. It takes faith to do this. It takes faith to give generously. We have to have faith that God will provide. And I'm standing here telling you, he will. Because the scripture makes it clear. Philippians 4:19, I don't know it off the top of my head, but it says that God will provide our needs. But we don't simply give out of our surplus, nor do we give in order to get something in return. We give because we know that this belongs to God anyways, and we want to worship him, and we want to reach more people with the gospel. That's the reason we give, and we trust God to sustain us through our giving. And you may be here this morning. Maybe you don't give. I don't know. I don't know who gives. I don't even want to know. But I will tell you this. It is hard to go from not giving to giving. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I didn't struggle. Because Kim and I did. For years, we went to church and we didn't give hardly anything. We would give a little here and a little there. We had kids at home. We didn't have any money. I'm like, how can we give generously to God? But we sat down one day and we decided that we're going to give to God first. When we get paid, we're giving to God first. And we came up with an amount that we agreed on it, we prayed on it, and we came up with that. And we faithfully did it. We never went hungry. We didn't. God didn't make us rich. He always provided. He always provided. Look, if you're not giving, if you're a believer and you're not giving, I want to encourage you this way. Start small. Just start. Faithfully pray about it. Come up with what you're deciding you're going to give. And do it faithfully. And then build on that as your faith grows. Worship the Lord in your giving. He's going to bless others through that. He's going to bless you through that too. The topic of giving is sensitive. And we recognize and that we're called to be givers. I know that I am. And if we're believers, I believe we all are. Not a command, out of love. And I want to challenge you today to prayerfully consider what God's asking you to give. And I'm encouraging you to have faith in the Lord. He will provide.